So your overall sampling protocol then, you know how many samples that you're going to be collecting in your site study. You've built up a detailed procedure for what you're going to be doing in the field. The key is figuring out in advance what you're doing. Now, every time I go up to Cape Trib, it would be my ideal to sort of know what I was doing in advance. The more that I approach that, the better the day goes invariably. So work in advance pays off. In particular, if you're collecting samples in the field, you need to know how many containers you're dealing with. The size of these must match your method detection limit. So if you're saying that with a 50-gram sample, I can achieve my method detection limit, then you've got to make sure your sample containers will actually cope with that. You need a labels and a labelling system to keep everything good in the field. This needs to be decided on in advance because it's no use having everything labelled in a systematic way that's not really going to work when people send them off to the lab. Sample devices need to be appropriate for the analyte that you're collecting. You've decided on your spike samples, so you're collecting the matrix needed. If you're having to deal with quantities in the field, then you're taking the appropriate gear to deal with volume measurements or weight measurements as they're appropriate. Often we need to preserve samples, so if we're collecting a metal and it's got to be in a water solution, it's at ultra-low concentrations, then frequently the metal will stick to the container wall. So we might have to put some acid into the container to ensure there's no binding between the metal and the container wall. So that'd be like a preservation method. Field measurements, these then are to complement what you're actually trying to measure in the field. So if you're trying to measure, for instance, some metal in a water, then you should know the background parameters in the water at the same time so you're able to actually characterise the condition of the water when you collected your sample. And typically, you'll also collect the standard meteorological variables, temperature, relative humidity, and if it's a water system, you'll be doing hydrological variables in terms of flow rate through the water body. And there must be a nice logbook where you write in pen what you were doing. And you cross it out if you made a mistake and explain what's going on. None of this pencil stuff. Safety is really important in these things. If you underestimate safety, then it comes and bites you in the behind at some stage. So clothing for the sort of environment that you're walking into. So from now on, every time I go to Robson Creek, I'll be armed with very long clothing and gloves and glasses and everything for the stinging trees that are there now that I've been bitten. Bernd, for instance, Lottermoser, who used to be here for a while, who does the geochemistry stuff on mine sites. So he's done quite a lot of work in sites then where you can be significantly exposed to radiation. So you need to have that sort of personal monitoring equipment in place before you go to these things and not be too daggy about it. Safety will depend on the institution that you're working with, how strictly they treat it, but you should always try and make sure that you keep